Accession number 30024, reel 13.
Before then, I'm not quite sure whether it was before or after. It was on a Sunday, and it could have been before that. Yeah, because it was the ground staff, Luftwaffe ground staff that were moving in. And it was a Sunday morning, and every third Sunday we were supposed to have off. Well, that was a fallacy, because our day off would consist of count-ups, checking your food, checking your boots, which is also it was a farce. Make sure that your red triangle is on your thigh and on the centre of your butt. That was nice and stenciled, nice and bright. Any more tricks up there, Snee? Just, that was then, that was where the barbed wire complex came in. That was psychologically, they didn't ill-treat you that way, but mentally they inconvenienced you. And it was one of the Sunday we were supposed to have off. Said, oh, we want a volunteer work party. Like, heck, you know, it's our day off. And there was quite a hullabaloo. Anyway, if you don't volunteer, we'll pick you. So you see. They lined up ready. And that was that. And they said, no, we're not. Look, it's for your comrades. Like, we've got no comrades here. Oh, yes. They're moving in. It was Luftwaffe work party, which, we're going to work on the site eventually. And in the end, the chap that was getting the work party together, I'm sorry. Can I just put it? Where do I put it? Oh. My hands are stupid. Sorry, Toby. look, he says, Marsh, Marsh. No, nobody moved. No, that's on song. Marsh, no. Yeah, he's good on another. Count to three, eins, zwei. And I'll just fire. He said, one of your comrades is going to sort of, And it was only then that the camp leader said, look, chaps, don't let us, have a bloke on our conscience. Yeah, go on, give in for what it is. And it was to fill palliasses with straw for the Luftwaffe staff that was going to move in. There were so many of these palliasses that had to be stuffed with straw, commonly known as friendly donkeys. So you had situations like that. You'd been out 14 hours perhaps in the finer weather, like the light nights, and you'd been out all day trench digging. You'd walked back perhaps 3 odd miles from where you ended up with your trench work, then you had to walk all the way back. Oh, blimey days, Okay, and then you'd be ready just to have you clean up if it was necessary. Then you just have what you could scrape out your parcel if there's any, And all of a sudden, Achtung! And you had to stand round the wall. The Gestapo would come in. They'd know it was time that you were trying to go and eat something, and they'd go through what food you had in your parcels. And if there's a tin there, they'd spike it on purpose. And we were warned that if they did that, as soon as you can, stuff the hole with butter, or margarine, because that would help to seal it, you see, otherwise you'd have to get rid of it, tin stuff. Oh, yes. And then they'd go off. Make a pretense of counting you. And buzz off. Yes. Oh, yes, they were very clever like that.
Were there ever any issues with people being too willing to work or collaborating?
Not that I know of. Not when I'm concerned. And it was the other way around. I have assisted in escape, which unfortunately resulted in failure. But there's only just that extra bit of knowledge of German. They'd get me to speak to the guard instead of him walking up and down. They'd get me to speak to him, talk to him, you see, and sort of, you know, and a couple of blokes would stand around listening, or, you know, sort of that. In the meantime, they'd already made a hole in the wire, you see. The only snag was, a particular instance, it was a bit of a clearing. It was about from the width of this car park before you could hit shrubbery, you see. And, well, that was all right if you could make a mad dash, you see. But what happened in this particular instance, I was engaging the guard's attention, and there was an off-duty guard with his mess tin. He'd just come from either going to where he was going to eat or either he'd been coming from where he was going. And he came round the corner where the guard would have met and come back again, you see, just as the chap dived through the hole in the wire and made off. And he shouted, you see, automatically shouted because he was in full view, you see, something we didn't really, like, well, we never thought of it, but I didn't expect it. And our guard, immediately, and just managed to get a round off, you see. And, of course, we got a cursing, no messing. But that was a hullabaloo, the shot had been fired. But then, next minute, somebody else had brought, and he came walking back under arm. we had three chaps, and they were Dems. They were they were military blokes, but they were gunners on merchant ships or something like that. Something like that. DEMS. I can only call them Dems if that's what I had in mind. And now they were rough, and they were tough. And they were in and up to their ears in trouble all the time. But somehow or other they got away with it, put it that way. They actually went out one night and purloined, borrowed a hen. And that's one thing I didn't realise. They found eggs ready to lay when they opened it up. Yes, they had no shells on. They were ready to sort of form a shell for it to lay. And I was in trouble with them once. They raided a larder, a German larder, at night. And the Germans said, "Oh no, it wasn't our food you stole, it was your own food." And I'd been moved from one hut to another. It's only, I don't know how it happened really, and I had this other layabout chappie, and because I was me, unfortunately, the camp leader put me in charge of these three blokes and this layabout. If you call it a collaborator, it could have been this layabout, because in Italy, before we came to Germany, I think I'm right, we actually, not me personally, but they actually got fed up with him because he wouldn't watch and keep himself clean as best as possible. And then they deliberately got hold of him and really gave him a good scrubbing, you know. And but he's you can't help it in those circumstances. You had all sorts. But these three chaps were. There were two hefty ones and a little one. And it was the little one that got it all the time. But they, as I said, they were terribly tough. And they got put on special rations. That was now when I had to agree that I was the one that had to cut the rations off. I don't a hair's breadth, you know, be out. I'd have these silly blokes rations for that sort of stuff. And that was a bad moment. Yes. I picked on really. There's another chappie. His name was Bill as well. And he came, he's a Londoner. He was in one of the London buffs, one of the regiments there. And he was an awkward. Everybody, oh, for goodness sake, shut up, you know. Talk a load of tripe on this, that, and the other. And he'd go on in his merry way. And even I got fed up one day, and he picked on me a little here and there. I said, for goodness sake, shut up, or I'll make you. So I grabbed him by the shoulder. And it was the factory billet we were in then, not the barracks. And it had a kitchen that you were able to use. And there was a door, just an ordinary door, but it led out into a compound, small compound. And I dragged him out there, you see. I was, no. And I said, yes, yes. And immediately the camp leader again. And he said, oh, for goodness, Bosh, come here. I said, what's the matter with you? No, he said, not in front of Jerry. He said, I'd be right up their street. They'd see two Englishmen scrapping, you know, in this circumstance. And they'd be right up their street. If you've got to sort of to take him up to the dormitory, well, he wouldn't come. He called it up. I said, well. I don't think about the. And until you've brought it all out, I mean. Because I'm not a pugnacious bloke. I can stand up for myself. I don't mind putting the gloves on. Oh, I haven't. When I was younger, I've had the gloves on and had to go a bit of a spar, you know, here and there. Even a wrestle, too. I like wrestling. Proper wrestling. Anyway, that was that, isn't it? Anything else, Edward, Tom?
Did you ever have any little hobbies or pastimes in the camps to keep yourselves occupied?
In Italy, more or less, yes. We, like for instance, not that they came to anything, but a chappie, he had a Greek alphabet, and when a Russian saw it, he thought it was his own. Yeah. They were very, very, the gunfodder Ukraine types, they were pathetic people. I mean, they'd been harshly treated being brought out of Russia. As I said, they were gun fodder. You see, because the Russian troops that I met later in Liebstadt that had moved up, they were a different kettle of fish. They were ugly brutes, and they were highly trained. They were highly trained military, just like the Africa Corps we'd met on the desert. And like ourselves as well. They were really tough, you know. I won't mention Americans. No, I'm afraid Americans are a little bit gungo, trigger happy, and they only think of numbers because they've got numbers. Yes. But these, the Russian army that came into the village, they were, yes, they were really tough nuts, yes. Oh, yes. Vastly different. But, yes, in Italy we more or less got by. He was talking away and all sorts. That's what I think. I'm sure I got a list. A list of what was in parcel, in a Canadian parcel, in an English parcel. I'm pretty sure. I thought it was in here, but apparently not. And no, it's not in there. Oh, no, no. And because we could only sit around and talk and do things. So those practical blokes, you may have heard of it. I think it was in Campo 53. It was a famous clock, a wall clock that was made out of tin cans, out of the parcels. Because being the food parcel, there's either a gold inside the can or a silver colour. And that's the two colours they made it. And they had, in the Canadian parcels, we had what they called clin. And it was dried milk. And they were in round tins like that, milk powder. They were very useful. And they were filled with sand. And the sisal cord off the parcel was the weights of the clock. And everything else was made out of tin cans. And as far as I know, it was portrayed by the Red Cross, I'm pretty sure, yeah. It it must have been preserved, I don't know. It came back here. You'd have to find that out from another source. But it was in one of the huts in the Campo 553, and we could tell the time by it. And it only lasted, as far as I know, it only lasted about 5 minutes a day. Well, of course, so primitive too, you know. But the weights were clim tins filled with sand, which, like a two-weight, like a grandfather's clockworks, you know. But the face was the gold face of the tins, and the figures were silver. But they're only ones, you know, they're symbols. But whoever chaps... Well, we had some skilled chaps in there. There were twins in my section, but in supply section, they were devils. They were the twins. And because nobody could really tell the difference, and even like the officer NCOs, because they'd switch. And they were so alike, it was very difficult for the officers and NCOs, like, you know, you so-and-so, you know, you Charlie, and you... Because they'd say yes, you see. And one chap, he got a diesel mark on his FS cap. And because of that, like the different... The other bloke, he made an identical mark on his hat. It's a wonder they didn't separate them forcibly, if you know what I mean. But... circumstance, that was why, in a way, I suppose I was a little bit stuck, because nobody moved out the unit, you see. We lost men eventually, but that was different in the situation, and the strengths were made up. But otherwise, you did your job. And you were doing more than what you were doing. And I do know the he was the old Iranian oil company before the war. He was a white official out in Iran. And he had to come out of there when war broke out. His surname was a Christian name. Sergeant. Oh, God. Sergeant. Not George. Sergeant. Oh, gosh, I'm sorry. It'll come possibly. But he was doing officer's work in the section. And one of our officers doing divisional work. And we were only like the section pertaining to that, you know, like sort of Yes, it's a most peculiar way of working. Once you were in, you were in. And like nobody moved you because you were doing your work. As that. Yeah, peculiar. Anyway, as I said, in Italy we did pass our time away. In Germany it was a different kettle of fish. We were occupied in a different way. And some of the work we resented very much. Because we complained. We christened him Spike. The building site we were on, he used to come around checking. And he's a great big tall... I don't know if he's tall as you, Toby, but he's a big, tall, straight chap. And he had a long black leather coat. And he's a civilian, you see, but he was a head constructor bloke. And these high boots and this long leather coat. And the way he went around, we christened him Spike, like gangster. And we had made quite a few arguments with him because we turned in about we were entitled to labourers' rations. Because a labourer in our type of work apparently got an extra slice of bread on the bread ration. Like. And what do you ask me for? He says, your Red Cross feeds you. That's what you got out of him. Then we wanted protective clothing. Well, he says, your Red Cross gives you uniforms to wear. What are you asking me for? Well, it's dead end, you know. And that was a situation there. That was Germany. It was a different situation, a different kettle of fish, as I say. I'll tell you, some of the Germans used to look at us in awe. Others thought we were scatty, but sometimes, which is it has happened, we'd go out on site, building site, and perhaps things weren't ready to tick off, you know, they were still moving out of lager or something, and there's a group, blokes, and they'd go out and they'd take up cricket positions. The bloke would sort of, no bat, no ball, no wickets, but he'd go down and, you know, it's crease, you know, and the other bloke to the referee, you know. The bowl would come down, the bowl, you see, the other bloke, you see. And what the devil in the day? And the outfielders, you know. They all mimic, of course, of playing cricket. And a lot of the Germans, what the devil are they up to? You know, they're mad. Because they didn't. But we just do it for devilment. There was a nurse that used to come into it had nothing to do with us. She used to come in on the bicycle. And we'd say, like she would, she passed us because they were up to the path of the area sort of style, not where we were, because we were away from the lines. Don't mention the lines. We were away from there then once we'd done our bit. And she'd come in riding on the bicycle, and Morgan? No, Morgan Chester. She didn't say hi, little, it was just Morgan Chester. And she'd say, you British, no, England, no, how should she put it? But honestly, some twits had learnt her to swear, like swear words, you see. And she'd use these swear words.
English swear words.
Mm. And... oh, you're always sort of you Englishmen, you know. That was the outcome. You Englishmen, always that, you see. Well, of course, some of the lads who thought that was funny. Some of us that it was not fair, really, even though she was a German-like person. I mean, to teach her like language like that. I mean, she could say something like that to one of her own people in a way of, and he might, or she might know, like, what. And it wasn't exactly what typical army, put it that way. But
what sort of swear words?
Well, it was one of things. Well, it's come to the fore more than ever. I mean, frankly, I don't like it. I don't use it myself, and I don't like it. And I don't like other people using it, and that was the F word. And she said, you English men, always effing, always, you see? And, she thought it was funny. There's nothing funny about it, because they were laughing, sort of stuff. Yes. But they were like a certain, well, you always got a certain crowd of army blokes who were a rough lot.
How were the camps organised in terms of the hierarchy and chain of command, as it were, among the prisoners?
My own, in Italy, they tried to bring in the NCOs as similar to your own experience in your own unit. But we didn't think a lot of that because they were only out for their own ends. And there's nobody to fight for us, as you might say, you know. And there was one instance, he was a sergeant out of the RWFs, Royal Welsh Fusiliers, and Tubby Chappie. And he was a right so-and-so. And there was the time when we used to get parcels, some of them, and to split them into even half was a bit difficult. It was easier, but whatever, if you had one between four, I mean, that was very difficult to sort of, you know, try and equal party. So therefore, the idea was to cut cards and that, and that. And I think Providence looked after me there. He never beat me on a draw. And he used to very nearly burst a blood vessel. But amongst like a group of men, he couldn't do much about it. But Providence was kind. He never beat me on taking a card, you know. Anyway, he was relieved, actually. He got sort of taken from our gang, like sort of our group, and put on cookhouse duties. Well, he didn't do anything in the cookhouse because the ITIs did that, but he got the job of dishing it out